The Valerie Carey Show. Hi guys, it's Valerie Carey and welcome back to my show. So it's been very interesting for me to think about what to talk about. And every time I meet someone that says, "Oh, Valerie, I love your podcast," and thank you so much, by the way, to everyone who's told me that recently. But every time someone says that, you start to talk, they inevitably ask me, "When's the next episode? Or are you doing something else?" And I just think, and I think that's the tricky thing about having something public like a podcast, or like when you're a celebrity or TV, or maybe your job means you work with a lot of people. So, for example, maybe a teacher or something. But the point I'm making is the thing with people who somewhat bar themselves to other people's consumption. So your life is somewhat shared, whether by social media or whatever means, but you're sharing your life. Anyone who shares their life has to take the chance that they will be judged for whatever they post or whatever they share or whatever they say. And I haven't wanted to share a lot of things, not because I'm ashamed of saying certain things, but because I feel I'm not sure that that would be authentic of me to share or talk about those things, because perhaps I don't really believe those things, or perhaps I don't agree with those things, or for whatever reason. So today I decided, no matter what, I was going to make a recording, even if I had no actual topic and I didn't plan a script. But I just thought, if you don't make a recording, you're going to keep saying you'll do one and never do one. You just keep postponing the return because you are scared. Oof. So I guess today, perhaps what I want to talk about is whether we could be authentic all the time. Can you really be authentic all the time? Can you really be no holds barred, this is who I am all the time? I think I have struggled with being authentic all the time. And I like to think that since it's so unpleasant for me, that there must be some people that are always themselves. I think when you think about being authentic, you think about being yourself. You think about not hiding, not masking, not pretending to be anything else, just being yourself truly as free and comfortable as you could possibly be, and not worrying about the judgment, not worrying about the weight of the expectations. And, you know, I was thinking about it at different times in the last year or so. So for me, since I moved to Zurich, for example, well, as I said, you know, my recording has been affected in that sense, but also just my general sense of who I really am has been brought to the forefront of my focus. You know, I began to think about what that means, being yourself. What is that? I found myself in a new environment, and it's been interesting. When you move to a new place, you have to first of all know who you are to introduce yourself to new people. It's different when you meet someone new in the place you've lived in all your life, because over time you'll have developed a sense of who you are. But when you move to somewhere new, there isn't that support circle around you from a lifetime you've built to tell the story of who you are to a new person. You know, that sort of gives them a preamble of who you are normally. But in a new place, you have to almost start from scratch. And that really requires an understanding of who you are as a person. You know, when you meet someone at a networking event for the first time, what do you tell them? When you meet someone fun on the train and she says, hey, you look nice, let's be friends, so what do you do? What do you say? Or what words sum up who you are? And do you show up as that person all the time? Do you show up as that person at work, for example? You know, I've been thinking recently about how perception is very much reality in the workplace. And if you come from a workplace that's perhaps, or you go to a workplace that's perhaps not as diverse as it could be, perhaps you show up as someone else in the office because you feel you have to conform to a certain persona or personality. That must cause an awful lot of stress on a day-to-day, because I know this from experience, and I'm pretty sure it's not just Black people experiencing that. I think any group of people might feel that they may have to hide parts of themselves in the office. Speaking specifically now around the Black experience, just because that's my experience, you know. But it's just so interesting when you think that you could be sitting next to someone having the same intrusive thoughts as you, thinking, oh my God, perhaps I need to be this way or that way so I can fit into the group. And if everyone is thinking this, wow, it must be so unhealthy for the human experience. I really want to think that more people than not have this sense of self, complete sense of self, where they fully believe in who they are, they know who they are, they're able to articulate who they are, and nothing is shaken. The sense of self is not shaken. Perhaps it's just limited to people. Perhaps the problem or the loss of sense of self comes from trauma. Quite a few trauma responses could include not wanting to, or when I say trauma responses, like ways to cope with trauma, is some of the actions include like masking or pretending like the trauma didn't happen. So you end up having to keep that mask on even in your day-to-day life, and that can move into your work life. So it's so interesting. But actually, what was I even saying in the beginning? I can't remember now. Jeez, this podcast episode is really a rant, I guess. Yeah, no, I was talking about the experience I had moving here and whether I'm showing up as authentic. I remember I was at dinner with a friend, actually a group of friends, a couple of weeks ago. So I met some of these ladies at different points since I moved to Zurich. And there was a suggestion at another event that we all happened to be at, that we have a ladies' dinner just to celebrate our cultures, our different cultures. You know, we all cook different dishes and would sit down and have a good evening. So we did that. We actually put it in the diary and you know, it made it out of the group chats. It became an actual thing. So I made a couple of dishes. My other friend made a couple of dishes. You know, some people were bringing desserts, some people were bringing wine, you know. So it was sort of like a potluck dinner, which was great. And one of the ladies in the group offered her house. So we had dinner at her house. And while we were having, or rather, just towards the end of dinner, one of the group said she had this movie she wanted us to watch called Becoming a Black Woman. It's a documentary. It's a Swiss documentary. It's really centered around this lady. I think her name was Rachel. And she was kind of understand her identity as a Black Swiss woman. And the movie was moving. It was a lot because it felt very heavy. If you haven't experienced a type of trauma, hearing it could not only be triggering but also heavy on you, because you're aware of the weight of trauma for one thing, and then you're also alert to the fact that people could have had different experiences, but just as bad. It's like trauma seems so common nowadays that it's like everyone is dealing with something in their lives, you know, another reason why we all should be kind. But anyway, so this movie was about her, you know, identity crisis, but she moves past it and she tries to understand her past, she tries to understand her present. And it really speaks to the personal experience. She, in the movie, she spoke to a couple of men, ladies in the Swiss region, and then she tried to understand their experiences. And I feel towards the end of that movie, because I remember at one point we paused and I said to the lady who put the movie on, and I said, you know, wow, that's so deep. You know, it was so apt to how I was feeling about understanding my identity and wanting to show up as authentic, wanting to show up as myself. And so recently I've been thinking about this so much. I have been trying to show up as authentic as possible in dating, especially because I envisage a future where the person I am authentically is the person that is loved, not the facade that I created for this man or this person to fall in love with me. You know, so it's an interesting one. It's like, I guess maybe it's harder only if you've not grown up in a scenario where you're always supported about being yourself, you know, making mistakes, overcoming challenges, being loved even if you're not perfect. When you come from places where you are almost shoehorned into perfection, you know, from high achieving parents, maybe your culture drives you. Like, I know my Nigerian culture, if your parents are really so inclined, you know, you have to be a doctor, engineer, you know, you have to be the best, you have to be the first, you always have to be. Like, they don't have 10 heads, they don't have 2 heads. The people who are coming first, why aren't you on that level? It's always that competition of drive. And it's a lot. Because perhaps that's not what you want to do. What if I don't want to get straight A's? What if I want to paint? Oh my goodness. You know, I was having a conversation at the Canon Guy's Symposium last week. Was it last week now? It was on Monday. This week, jeez. I mean, it feels like last week. It's been a long week. It's only Wednesday. It's been such a long week. Oh my God. But yes, at the Canon Guy's Symposium, right? I was talking to people outside when we were having drinks. The Canon Guy's Symposium in Zurich, by the way, is such a great initiative. It's run by 3 wonderful people. And there's a board of people, actually, but I know 3 of them. And they hold talks every so often. They call them chapters. I think they were doing a chapter 6 this week. And they had 3 wonderful speakers. One of them in particular, actually 2 of them, really stood out to me. One spoke about his charity in Gabon that takes recycled waste from schools, basically teaching kids, younger kids, to keep the country clean, because then you imbibe in them this culture of cleaning. You know, you imbibe in them this culture of taking pride in their land and taking pride in the surroundings and wanting to keep it clean. based on the concept of how the Swiss live, where everything is pretty self-managed. People don't destroy things because it's their property as well, right? They keep their roads clean because the roads belong to them. Everyone has a sense of belonging and ownership for the country. And this man's charity was basically to try and repeat that in his country, starting from the young age so that the generation grows up knowing the right or the better way to do it. And the second one who stood out to me was another gentleman who wrote a book about divorce. His son was affected by his divorce, and as a way to reconnect with him, he decided to not dramatize, but to draw out this story of their specific situation in the form of a kid's book for his son, like a gift. And I think from there, the idea of having this as a book series for other kids and to make the story available to other kids came about. So actually quite interesting. I was more interested in how he went on the journey to create the book, but the point I was making is the Coming Out Symposium, they're a great group. You should find them online. I'll put details, and you should check them out, especially if you're in Zurich. Why did I even say this in the first place? Oh, yes, so I was talking to two people outside while we were having drinks, and I remember asking, oh, yes, that's why, because I was thinking about how interesting it is that we start to do something because our parents want it. But anyway, yeah, so I asked these two people, a guy and a lady, and I said, what would you be in life? Like, what job or task or business would you do if money wasn't an option? What would you do? Now, the gentleman, he worked in finance, and I think he said he wanted to travel. He wanted to be like a tour guide. He wanted to do something related to traveling and talking about his travels. He thoroughly enjoyed that. But his parents wanted him to have a stable job with a good income. So he got into finance, and that's what he does now. So his answer surprised me a little. But I was shocked, actually, by the lady's answer. Yeah, she was a lawyer, and she basically said, if she could do anything at all, her job would be to be a goldsmith. I did not expect that. I did not expect that. So though she looked like she really enjoyed her job, wanting to be a goldsmith. I was like, have you made any jewelry before? And she was like, no, it just seems like such an interesting career path, you know. And she rightly said that with any job over time, things would get boring, surely. But she thought about it, and being a goldsmith is something that will probably give her the least amount of boredom, because she'll always be creating something new. And I just thought that was so interesting. Like, if we lived in a society where money wasn't an object for anybody, we would literally have people doing the most beautiful things, just doing what they truly want to do. And not everybody wants to be an artist as well, you know. You always hear the pushback that, oh, well, if everybody wants to be a painter and lounge around, some people genuinely like work. Some people like to be carpenters. Some people like to play with numbers. Some people genuinely enjoy their jobs. So you will be fine. We'll have enough people to run the world. It's good. We're all good. But anyway, that's not the point. And that's a complete segue. I don't even know how I got there. But I thought what would be good, it would be to use this conversation to talk about how I've tried to be more authentic in myself and my dealings with people since I moved here. All right. Again, I'm not a therapist, and I'm just giving my opinion. But for me personally, when I took time to really understand who I was, I could then present myself authentically, because up until then, you're guessing, right? You have blanks, and you could fill it with anything, and you would not know if that was accurate. You wouldn't know if that was really something you'd like. What do I mean by this? I mean, for example, if you don't know how you like your eggs, And you've always had fried eggs because your mom makes fried eggs. She always makes fried eggs. You don't need to think about it. And then you go out with your friends and they're like, oh, how do you want your eggs? You know, and two of them say fried. You're like, yeah, go ahead, fried. It doesn't matter. But you don't know if you actually like fried eggs. Have you actually gone and thought, let me try a different type of eggs and see if I like it? You know, I was again out with someone this week, I think on Tuesday. So yesterday, geez, this week is very long, guys. This week is very, very long. But anyway, the point being, self-awareness, and it's quite key that we know who we are so that we can actually create the boundaries that are required to keep ourselves authentic. And the other thing is practicing vulnerability. You know, I've come to a point now where I realize not everybody will like me, and that's okay. But what would be terrible, what would be absolutely sinful, is if people loved me, but not the real me. That would be the worst. That would actually be torture for the rest of my life. So I'll much rather take the chance that you would just not like me and just be open. I'll fall in love than not love. This friend is going to be a great friend, so therefore I'm going to make this person my friend, than hide myself off and stay in isolation. You have to be vulnerable. And I know we live in this world where you have to be like completely PC. And I've even done it on this call where I've sort of given disclaimers just because, again, it's sometimes easier to just say, look, by the way, I didn't mean what you might be thinking I meant here. This is what I mean. But we can't allow the fear of being judged to keep us from sharing who we are. We should be a little more vulnerable. It's hard. I know. Trust me. I know. But truly, I mean, what else can we do? It feels there's not much else we could do except try it. All right. So before I carry on and feel like I'm preaching, there are only two more things I really think helped me. Definitely physical exercise, spending time with myself, meditation. These three things really centered me. So movement and exercise, I mean yoga. I actually have gotten into spinning now, but I'm going to talk about that at a different time. But definitely still my yoga. That really helps remind me of my body. And once you're aware of your body, you sort of stay grounded that way. Spending time with myself, just really enjoying my own company. And then you start to see what you like. Because when you date yourself, you are your own friend. You start to learn what you like. And it's so interesting. I said, who are your own friend? I'll come back to that in a second. But the third thing, obviously, is meditation. You know, spending quiet time and not just on your own in the pure sense where you're reading a book or you're doing something else, but truly spending focused time meditating on either what you want in the future or where you are now. Ideally where you are now, so that you really understand who you are now. Because who you are now is current. Who we are now is real. So let's love this person right now before we get to this perfection that we're aiming for. You know, if you don't love who you are now, it will be much harder to love the person you're going to be in the future. Anyway, bringing it back to being your own friend, I realized that speaking to my therapist a couple of years ago, I realized that we're not always friends to ourselves. You know, we are, and I say we, I mean me, or, you know, people pleasers or whoever. There's a risk where you like other people, right? You see someone, you admire them, you want to be their friend, you love your brothers, you love your sisters, you know, like your parents, you know, people you work with. But when you think about yourself as a person, you don't really like who you are as a person. You're not your own friend. You don't feel like you want to spend time with yourself because you don't really enjoy your own company. And it's sad that not more people are friends to themselves, because you would see you start to give yourself a bit more grace when you think of yourself as a friend. You know, that inner voice is suddenly silenced because you wouldn't say mean things to your friend, right? You would want to say it in a way that wouldn't hurt them. We can try to help silence the negative voice in our head if we are actually friendly to ourselves in reality. Think about yourself as if you saw yourself on a dating app and you had to swipe left to right. What would be written on your profile that would make you swipe right? What would be written on your profile that will make you think, actually, no, and swipe the other way? Like, what will make you move with this person off your screen? And is that really true? Is that a real reflection of who you are? Because I really think if you saw yourself on a dating app, you would swipe right. Anyway, and the last and final thing is embracing perfection. This last 2 weeks, actually, my friend has been reminding me that it's okay to make mistakes. It's okay to not be perfect. It's okay to fail. Sometimes it's okay. You don't have to always be perfect. So if you are authentic and you make a mistake, if you are being yourself and you mess up, if you're fully owning who you are and someone says, hey, you're too much for me or you're not enough for me, it's okay for you to let that person go. Funny enough, just before I started recording, I picked one of my hourly affirmation cards. And the card, funny enough, was really related to what we're talking about today. So if you know my cards, they are in pigeon, and the top half is a pigeon idiom or proverb. And then the bottom half of the card always has like an English type translation of sorts. But not a literal translation, but more of a scenario you could use it translated to English. Right, so this card says, Chris no dig hard to form, na the trekking be wahala. And it also says, I will be myself at all times. I will stay true to myself because there is no one I would rather be. And I think that's just so beautiful. There is no one I would rather be. I'm quite happy being myself because it's been a long time in the making. You know, when you think about how many years you've lived on Earth, you've literally been creating the version of you that is alive right now. Every decision you've made has led to this point. Crazy. Yeah. Anyway, so to explain the pigeon idiom, Chris now they had to form. Now they're trekking be wahala. You can pretend to be a crazy person. You can pretend to be someone else. But in this literal translation, you can be in parts of Nigeria where people with mental health problems walk on the street. The premise here is if you want to pretend to be a crazy person, you have to walk the same distance they would, because they are typically found wandering, right? But you're pretending to be crazy, and then you'll have to wander as well under the hot sun, and it's difficult to keep up that pretense if you're not really troubled. That's where the origin of that idiom came from. So crazy, no, they had to form. So being crazy is not difficult to pretend to be crazy. Now the trekking be wahala. So it's the walking that is the problem. Okay, so I'm going to leave you with that, and I'm going to stop talking because I've been talking for over 30 minutes. 30 minutes, guys. Oh, my God. You're going to have to tell me what to talk about next time because I want to record again, but I don't know what to talk about. So you're going to have to help me. Tell me what you want me to talk about. Maybe you want me to interview someone. I was thinking of speaking to a few people I've met here in Switzerland. If you would like to hear about that, let me know. Or just text me, actually. I miss talking to you guys, so please do that. Also talk to me in person. Anyway, that's it. It's me. I'm done. I'm going to bed. It's 11:40. I'm tired. But yeah, I missed you. Have a good day and bye-bye.